Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
We were swinging for the fences.
All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Rockin' the Suburbs. We are doing one of our track-by-track weeks, and it's exciting. We've done three or four of these in the past. And today we've got the Total Strangers, Mike Wagner and EPJ, James Petrillo. Thank you very much for being here. And also over in the corner, it's Jim Linehan. Hi, Jim.
Hey, how's everyone?
Good. How are you?
Doing okay. Excited about this record.
Yeah.
It's an exciting thing when your childhood chum becomes so big and famous.
It is exciting for all of us. And we've done this with Apollo 66 and Quart Jar and Dot Dash. So this absolutely fits right in with this. Mike, EPJ, how are you guys doing?
Excellent.
Very good. Very good.
Thanks for doing this. We really appreciate it. I think the...
Oh, thank you for having us.
Yeah, there's been a lot of interest in the community about this record. I know in April New Music that it's kind of airing right now as we record this. The Total Strangers album has been mentioned. So I want to start by you guys giving us a little background on how the whole thing came together. But I have a question. I wonder about the title. The title of the record is Watching the Sun Go Out. Now, traditionally, the sun goes down. Right? It doesn't go out. So I wonder what's the motivation behind that little title twist there.
So it was my doing. I came up with the title.
Blame Mike.
And it really has to do with a lot of people. I mean, let's just start by saying this is an album about this era that we've been living in.
Okay.
Right. Let's just sort of cut to the chase. It is about this era we've been living in. And from what I see, from my point of view, there are a lot of people who are just standing around watching and hoping somebody else does something. Mm. Right? And they're just like, and nothing, and like what people don't realize is like, if you don't do anything, it just, you know, it's kind of like, what is the first law of, you know, of physics or whatever, a force in motion stays in motion until it's stopped. And a lot of people just are just watching the sun go out and not doing anything. And that's where the line comes from.
Oh, okay.
And that's sort of the whole premise of the album, to be honest.
Well, it's kind of like Chicken Little, like the sky is falling. We've been saying it for 20 years about a number of things in the world, from climate change to whatever. But it's like now it's like we're so coddled by all the endless content and pleasures we can access. We don't have to, we can just watch the sun go out and then wait, the sun's out now? I thought you were going to do something, Patrick. I thought you were going to do like, everybody's like, I don't know. Everything was kind of fine before the COVID. Like, I was like, everything's fine. Everything. So you do something, Mike, and Mike seems really engaged. So what are you going to do, Mike? And then it's too late. So,
yep.
I mean, so anyway, that's where it came from.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Why don't we start here with the opening track? It's called What You Do.
What you do concerns, what you do mistakes me, subjects me. What you do reveals. What you do subjects me. Leaves the rest concealed. What you do suspects me. What you do deceives. What you do protects me. Under lock and key. Won't you tell me what.
I got to ask you guys, at least in my experience, and I know my experience talking to other people who've been in bands and groups, when they put a record together, it's always a big decision about what's going to be the first song, what's going to be the opening track. Now, this one starts off with a little bit of a spooky kind of intro. There's almost like a little bit of Stonesy, sort of experimentation, and then it kind of kicks into the whole song. So why was What You Do the opening track of this record?
An interesting story. When I came to EPJ about doing this, I actually had all the songs in the order that I thought they should go in.
Did
even
you
though
really?
I didn't have even oh, though wow. I didn't have all the lyrics done. Is that I mean so What You Do is a song about seduction. It is about following a demagogue, giving in to the demagogue and willfully going with the demagogue because you're going to follow things that you want to hear. I mean, so that sort of sets up, I mean, there is an arc of, there's not like, it's not like Quadrophenia where there's like the character Jimmy and we follow Jimmy through, you know, his thing. Yep. Or like The Wall where it's, you know, Pink or whatever like that. There's not like a character, but there is a narrative. And the arc of the story starts with the demagogue seducing all these people. And What You Do is a song about seduction. And really, to answer your question, it just seemed like a great place to start.
I think sonically too, like, you know, musically, I like how you had the hooks in your mind too. And it kind of starts like a good album opener with where it kind of builds and builds. And when you had all the tracks in your mind, I always loved Pearl Jam 10 where they had kind of a music, like kind of a abstract opening. And then if you played the whole album and as at the end of the album, that fades out and it goes back in. So if you play this album like all the way through as it ends, it kind of like hooks back into the beginning really well. So I think musically too, I think you had that in mind as the opening track all along.
And it's just, I mean, this is where it gets difficult because it's like, I really like this. It's like, I like my own song, you know?
Yeah.
I don't mean to be big headed about it. I mean,
well,
I just do. I like the riff. I like starting with a strong riff,
mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, when you come up, I mean, you write songs and you kind of know when you have a riff that's kind of cool,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I've written tons and tons of riffs. Most of them suck. You know, they're just boring, and you listen to them, you're like, oh, it's terrible. But every once in a while, when you play it again, you go like, oh, I like that. Or you hear it in your head, You know, that's sort of the test, because, you know, 90-some% of what you write gets just thrown out. You know, you're just like, that's horrible. So, and it was a strong, it was a really strong riff. I think this is a good point to bring up. Like, one thing that really makes the song is just when we started, we didn't really know how we were going to do this. But this whole thing started for me and EPJ sort of talking after the Hootenanny. We should probably get into that a little bit here soon. We didn't really know what we were going to do. It's just the two of us. I'm like, we'll just figure it out. We'll just figure this out as we go along, you know? And we ultimately found Eric Truelove, who plays drums on this. He's in Houston. And the guy who plays bass, his name is Mark Chitty. He lived in Houston, but then his wife was reassigned to Angola. Hmm. She works for Chevron. And so that was all done. Like, I've never met Mark, but I have met Eric, because Eric, but and we were talking about this the other day. It's like, we were really lucky to get a really, really strong rhythm section.
Yeah.
And as the song fades out, I mean, I'd love the fade out on this song. And by the way, Tim Hoffman on backing vocals on some of those too. So
on this song. Okay. I didn't know he was singing on this track.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah. He's him and EPJ are doubling give it a little different feel at the end. I want to go bits is where he comes in. So,
okay, cool.
Thank you, Mr. Hoffman.
Yeah. Mike's process was to, you know, he had kind of like the song in his head, and then we kind of made the demo with just a, you know, a rudimentary drum machine. And then he sent it off to the rhythm section. And then, so when we made the final recordings, we had that rhythm section to work with. So that's how a lot of the songs really coalesce, because we've listened back to some of the demos and it's kind of like, oh, okay. But once the real rhythm section added, everything just exploded.
Oh yeah, it was night and day. It was night and day. And I don't know if we would ever finish if we hadn't found those two guys.
Wow.
I mean, they were a godsend.
That's amazing.
And how they work together and with not meeting each other. And it doesn't sound like it's two different
things. We don't sound like total strangers. Like, we sound like a band. And as much as you talk about it being a concept album, you could take out all the lyrics, and I would love to listen to the music, because the bass, some of the bass riffs are so, you know, strong. You know, it's just really a musical album at its core. So
we really wanted it. We really knew we wanted the songs to be strong, and there was a couple times that we went back, and it's like they just aren't there. They just aren't there, and you have to keep plugging away until you make you. I mean, it's that stupid corporate thing where you say from good to great, you know. But that's what we were trying to do, right? EPJ came up with the things. We were swinging for the fences, you know. We were not going to stop until we knew this thing was like, it was, it. You know, you could turn, EPJ said, you can turn the music off, or you can even not listen to the lyrics or whatever. But it just rocked. Right. And I think the songs do, and they have their bits.
Well, and I heard something in my head, and I was like, I think I hear what Mike's hearing in his head. And it was kind of like, you're always trying to do that timeless, because the last 20 years, it's hard to peg where the music is coming from. But I was hearing a lot of 70s vibes and a lot of like analog vibes and a lot of just like old school, like build a bunch of vocals in the studio. But also because Mike's such a megalomaniac, like Tom Scholz kind of guy, it's just like, let him be the mastermind. I'll just be a hired hand, because it was my first thing I've ever done, like actually making something. Like, I thought I've been a rock singer since I was 12 years old in gyms, like on gyms, like piano, doing Ducks on the Pond, remember? But this was like, oh, this is for real. And I'll just let him be, you know, Tom Scholz, and I'll be Brad Delp or whatever, you know, so.
That's cool. Well, that's perfect segue what I was going to ask, because I think we should tell the listeners real quick.
Right, the history.
Yeah, that. So a couple times we've mentioned here that Jim and I go way back to middle school, junior high, they called it in Toledo, Ohio. Back to junior high, we hung out then, and we've been friends since. And Mike Wagner, I've become friends with through this podcast. And during COVID, when we were doing the Friday Night Hootenanny sessions, where we just had a bunch of listeners come in and do our little song circle and just, you know, goofing around and joking around and everything, that's how you two guys connected. All right. And so from that, just tell us, fill in the gap here of how this project was born. What was it that you two guys saw in each other that made you want to, you know, to do an album together?
Yeah. Mike talked me into going to the Hootenanny. COVID hits. You guys have this brilliant idea for everybody who listens to the podcast and other people musical in all our lives to join. And you did it a week or two. And Mike had liked me being EPJ doing my silly call-ins on the podcast.
Yeah.
And Mike's like, you got to go to this Hootenanny. I'm like, I don't know. And is you know what a ham I am and how outgoing I am my whole life. And but ironically, I show up to the first few Hootenannies and I'm like, no video, turn the video off. I'm like, I put like a stuffed animal in front of the screen. Like, I'm not going to sing. These people are musicians. I'm not a musician. Like, and it took me a few weeks to warm up. But then I finally did like a U2 song a cappella. I'm like, oh, I can do that. And then I think that's what caught Mike's attention, right?
Exactly.
So, you know, as the weeks went on, I got more comfortable. And, like, I thank the Hootenanny for building my confidence, because I thought I was a great car singer and a shower singer. But to actually have people giving me live feedback. And one of the most my favorite moments, I think we did. What was the Talking Head song, Mike?
Burning Down the House
cover. And it was one of, you know, you always get the claps, however good it is, even if it's Nora or somebody brilliant. But like that one ended and it felt, and then the whole crowd is like, and it's just Zoom. But it was like, wow, Mike, we nailed that. And I was like still buzzing the next day, like that burning down the house, like, ah. So from that moment on, it's like once I knew Mike had songs and he's like, I have this song cycle that I've been kicking around for years. And like once we started working on those, it's like, because, you know, so part one, it was a community thing from the start. So I love how people from the community ended up on the album. And part two, I loved how I got my confidence from the community. And then when I heard Mike's songs, because I've done some writing out here on the West Coast and some acting, and I used all those skills. It's like, I remember I ghost wrote a book, like edited a book for a guy. So I had to take his words and make it like into something. So Mike had these songs and these hooks and these melodies, but he'll tell you he's not like Pavarotti. So I had to like dive into that. And it's hard to collaborate sometimes. So it was really cool to collaborate and get feedback where he's like, okay, that's good. So anyway, answered like four questions that I didn't think you asked, but it started with the community. So, because I cut in front of you, Mike, because Mike has a good answer to that, how this all started, too. So,
I mean, you basically nailed it. I mean, you know, and a lot of it came from, like, afterwards. Like, I'm not a big sleeper. And at the time, I was living in Houston. Now I live in Virginia. And so I was 2 hours behind him, and I would be like, I would just stay up, and we would just talk, you know, until 1-2 in the morning in Houston time, which wasn't too late for him because he needs his beauty rest. And we just sort of started talking about it, and it just, like I said, when it started, I didn't know how we were going to finish it. I had no idea. I just said, we'll just figure this out as we go along, and we did.
And as a music fan my whole life, I didn't know how much was involved, so it was just like, let Mike take the reins and we were off. But it's been a few years because of all the stuff that's gone down. So
what, Mike, just real quickly, what did you hear in Jim, EPJ's voice that made you think like, okay, that's my lead singer for this project?
Mm-hmm. He has got a huge heart. EPJ's got a huge heart, you know? I mean, EPJ is just like at his core, a very decent, I mean, there's all the shtick that you get on the podcast, right? And the stream of consciousness that we all sit around and laugh. But at his core, I mean, he really is a wonderful, decent person. Very, very thoughtful. Very knowledgeable. And he just cares a lot. And I think it comes, for me, it comes across when I hear the singing. Mm-hmm. And the songs wouldn't work if it wasn't somebody who cares so much about the same things that I do. You know, I mean, that sounds corny and it sounds kind of BS-y, but that is exactly how I feel about it. You know, it would never have worked I mean, it's so many. I mean, we're just almost of one mind about the what we wanted the album to be, and again, not just lyrically but musically, we wanted hooks. We wanted it to be. I mean, we wanted to be in the 70s countdown challenges. If, you know, if we had our way, if it had been the 70s, you know, we were trying to make that great of an album. So
that's a great answer.
Absolutely. Yeah, very good. And, you know, speaking of that, in the second song, Card Trick, I want to tell us about that song. But there's a part where EPJ sings the words slow decay that really catch me. Right, I think it's kind of at the end of maybe the first verse or something like that, but that really grabs you. And I think the vocals are just so great on that song and kind of chases the guitar riff a little bit along with it.
Yep.
It's really cool.
Sanitize and keep the faith. Now watch the handshake. Conviction starts to melt. The card trick you played was the hand you dealt. It was the hand you dealt.
So in the arc of the narrative, Kartrick is about manipulation, and there's literally the line in there: "Manipulation better given than received."
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's about once you have a cult, the demagogue will manipulate it to get what they want. I mean, I think one of my favorite lines is in there is what is it?
Claims divine perfection, benefits from doubt.
I just love that. I just love that line. You know, just that sort of like when that's kind of what happened. You know, you get that sort of like not requiring any sort of explanation, right? So, and then I think this would be a good time to mention that another great performer, Justice Fuller, does some vocals in here.
Okay, on this song.
She sings, yeah, uh-huh. She sings what's kind of the chorus bit. So, and she did an amazing job on the second half where there's like, she layered her vocals and got self harmonies and all that. It's just fantastic. Really adds a lot to the flavor of the song. It's not just one vocalist all the time. So, but yeah. So, did I answer your question?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Kartrick. Yeah, great song. Yes, it is a great track. Kartrick, Patrick, if you do say so yourself. I want to thank Jim and, of course, Mike Wagner and EPJ for coming on to do this track by track. Those are the first two tracks on the album. We're going to tackle the next three in tomorrow's episode. So make sure you come back then to hear more about the Total Strangers' new album, Watching the Sun Go Out. We'll talk to you guys then.
But like that one ended and it felt, and then the whole crowd is like, and it's just Zoom, but it was like, wow, Mike, we nailed that. And I was like still buzzing the next day, like that burning down the house, like, ah.